If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for downloading the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Don't forget, you can get these shows with the ads and plugs and commercials all edited out on our special VIP audio feed with a VIP membership. That applies to all four shows that I host during the week, the Wade Keller Post Shows and podcasts later in the week, and also all seven PW Torch live casts, plus all of our VIP exclusive shows throughout the month. There's about 100 of them. I host about 12 per week that are VIP exclusive. The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, post pay-per-view roundtables, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, and the Fix with Todd Martin. We got a bunch of other great content. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com. Yes, all the VIP podcasts, including the ad-free versions of this show, are compatible with popular podcast apps on both iPhone and Android. You can also stream the shows right from our ad-free VIP website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. So check out details if you want to support us and get these shows ad-free and a ton of other VIP-exclusive podcasts. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com for more details. We've got a mobile-friendly sign-up form. You can be VIP in about 2 minutes. Go for it. pwtorchvipinfo.com.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Well, I don't even know where to begin on a night like this. Travis, just, devastating news. I assume everyone who downloaded the show and listened heard Roman Reigns announce that leukemia, something he battled a dozen years ago in his early 20s, has come back, and he relinquished the Universal title live on television in what, by all indications, shocked and surprised most people who were not informed of it ahead of time. I haven't had a chance to check in on how things played out in the locker room. Devastating news that puts a cloud over everything. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about all the other content on the show. The final hype for Evolution, which certainly was overshadowed, and the latest on the world on the Universal title, and also the decision that I'm still a little in shock in at the moment. A lot less important than what we'll say about Roman Reigns, but the decision to have Dean Ambrose turn heel on Seth on this night. Travis, your opening thoughts on this evening.
Yeah, what a night. When the offer to co-host this show earlier or yesterday was put out, I was like, okay, it'll be a paint by numbers kind of thing. Evolution will be at the forefront, of course. Boy, did things turn out differently for a variety of reasons. Well, I think for one reason, and that led to a big domino that knocked over a lot of pieces.
Wow. It's even hard to kind of know where to begin and where to go with the conversation, considering that we're talking about a man in his early 30s with a family with kids, looking at some tough odds. I don't know the specifics of his diagnosis. I just know that recurrence of leukemia is not something to take lightly. The odds are tough, not impossible, but tough. And I just sincerely hope that his youth, his health, his attitude, and the fact that hopefully they caught the recurrence early. I don't know. I just don't know enough to even even fully comprehend, you know, what the road that he stares at ahead, the treatment and all of that. But I tell you what, I think he handled it in a way that I think will define him whatever his future holds in the business and out of the business. I thought that he, standing in the ring like that, when he came out onto the stage, you could just see something was different. The deep breaths and all that. I mean, he usually soaks up the booze and looks at the crowd, but it just felt there was a different vibe to him. And it was just such a big thud in that building when he announced, you know, that he was relinquishing the title and why. I know there's some non-fan, you know, people who aren't fans or new, and they're like, oh, you know, God, is it serious? I mean, you know, a few weeks ago on Impact, some kid got run over by a car. It's like, you know, I mean, you know, wrestling goes weird places, but obviously any fan who follows the product and kind of understands where angles go and where they don't knew this wasn't an angle. So I want to talk more about that. But Travis, I'm like not at all okay with running an angle at the end of the show with Dean DDTing Seth. I'm still gathering my thoughts on it, but this was not a night for that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'm appalled by it or in shock by it, but let Dean and Seth celebrate with the tag titles and give people like a chance to just go, all right, that was WWE on a tough night, and they let there be a feel-good win, and get back to big angles another night. It felt almost dishonorable to what was happening to do something that felt like it was exploiting it or taking advantage of the emotions of the night by having Dean attack Seth in that way. Are you on that page with me, or do you have a different feeling?
I am not on that page at all. I thought,
wow.
Not that I was expecting a turn. I thought, wow, what a way to maximize Dean's turn. Like, to do it tonight is, and I thought it was executed brilliantly. That's a way overstating it. It was done very well.
Like, yeah.
They hit all the, yeah, it was just done. Dean just staring off into, you know, talking to Seth, but, you know, Seth's like under his arm or between his legs for about to, you know, hit a move. And he's like, just, you know, this is your fault. You know, he hit all the notes, as did Seth in the selling, and sheer shock in getting beat up. I thought, well, I'm a Dean guy. That's my dude. I'm not gung-ho about a heel turn. Never was at the idea when it started, you know, a few months ago, or, you know, when he returned. And but it was done, I thought, really well, and I thought the timing was great, and they didn't use Roman Reigns. Then I thought I would have crossed over to where yours, what you're thinking about exploiting it. Like, imagine if Roman was the one to help them win, and then he had to stand out there and watch that. That would have been different. But, you know, show's got to go on, and things have to be set up for next week. So I don't hold them at all, let alone appalled at the idea.
Wow. Okay, we're going to disagree on this one.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I'm definitely interested in feedback on this issue. I'm throwing a poll up on Twitter right now because I do want to get a sense of how others feel about it. Yeah, I guess I felt like this. Well, I said what I felt.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're going to open the phone lines in a minute. So, give us a call. Let's set the table here. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, or Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, for the Monday night, October 22nd, 2018 edition of Monday Night Raw. And Travis Bryant is my co-host from the PW Torch livecast. And I think, you know, we're going on a little over 3 hours since the news. And it's still shocking, Travis, that, you know, this man walking in his prime at the top of his career, obviously, you know, got booed, got cheered. We've been critical of him. We've been praiseworthy. I've said, I think his character would be much better as a heel and big money. I've also said many times, I think he's probably one of the nicer guys in the business with his head screwed on straight in real life. And yet he couldn't quite click on the air with the male audience, to put it lightly, with some of the things he was scripted to do and some of the things that that were in his control to do differently. And yet it seemed like with the Shield connection, some of that was dissipating. And it was, things were looking like, you know, we'll see after. He's not with the Shield, how it goes. But, you know, he's headed to Crown Jewel, defending Universal title. Who knows what might be next for him in terms of a big match at a WrestleMania, maybe Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Who knows? And now it just, you know, real life and the mortality just came into play, and the emotion on display, you know, with the announcers and Seth and Dean especially, was just one of the more memorable pro wrestling moments, you know, in a very, very long that most fans will ever have. It'll be on that top list of shocking nights. So we want to get your thoughts on this show, Roman Reigns, and the Dean Ambrose turn. I know it's already been Twitter polls go fast. I'm just kind of curious how people are reacting. All right, so 41 votes in. 24% voted wrong night, tasteless. 71% said great timing, high impact. 5% not sure yet. Early voting, so we'll see how things play out in that regard. I'm not alone, but early results are I'm in the minority on thinking, ah, this isn't the night. So let's go to a call. We had some technical issues. One, the news crashed our website for about a half hour, and so I had to deal with all kinds of things behind the scenes, and then that led to some other issues in getting things scheduled on our caller portion of the show here. So I'm not even sure, given the augmented approach I took, whether I even set this up right. So we'll go to calls. Hopefully we're streaming. If not, we'll at least get some calls in before we get to our on-site correspondent. Very curious about what the mood in the building was like. And we'll be talking to an on-site correspondent later on. Also, we'll have emails to answer. So send in your questions for the mailbag to WadeKellerPodcast@PWTorch.com. That's WadeKellerPodcast@PWTorch.com. If you can't call or just don't want to call or we don't get to your call. So let's go to calls. I'm a little thrown off, obviously, here.
Hey, if you're a fan of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, which you obviously are if you're listening to this right now, check out Solomonster Sounds Off. It's a weekly show covering all the latest news in the world of wrestling, from WWE to Lucha Underground, New Japan, and everything in between, plus listener Q&A, rankings, and more. Check it out in iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or download directly from thesolomonster.com.
We'll go to 323 to start things out, and then 615 after that. 323, thanks for calling up the show. What are your thoughts on tonight? State your name and the city first, please.
Is this Tennessee?
Hi, Wade and Travis. This is Gilbert from Las Vegas. Well, it was no doubt a shocking night for everybody in the wrestling business. It doesn't matter if you're a pro-Roman guy, an anti-Roman guy. We all have our thoughts and prayers for him, and we hope he gets better soon and he's able to resume his career in the sports entertainment wrestling business. And Wade, I think I'm gonna side with Travis right here. I think we had action in the ring, but most of the night all we could think about was the Roman situation. But at the end of the show, everybody was thinking, wow, what a great moment. They crowned themselves tag team champs again, the Shield. And then the turn, I think it was a good moment because, I mean, I'm not saying it's not good to focus on the Roman situation, but at least now, like you guys said, the show must go on. And now we're focused on nice. Something else, on what's going to come out next week with these guys now feuding.
Well, first of all, I got to say, I have my feelings on it, and I do stand by it. I actually am happy that I'm in the minority. Like, I didn't want to deal with, like, I didn't want people to be mad about this or mad like I am about it. Or I don't know if mad is a word, but just yeah, I don't know. I guess mad might be the word. I said appalled. I'll stand by it. I don't like doing a big angle when everyone's soaking up something so real life. And I think the way to end the show was just a happy moment with Seth and Dean and not think about turning the emotion, the real life emotion with Reigns into an angle that could be very effective but a week separated next week. So, but I mean, 262 votes in, 24% are with me, 65% with Travis, 11% not sure yet. So the numbers are holding up as the statistical significance grows as the numbers increase here. So, I mean, a part of me is happy. You know, I don't want, I mean, I'd rather be in the minority on this, to be honest, and think it's wrong, but have most people be okay with it. I'm not mad at people who disagree with me, but I would not have made this call. I want a feel good moment, go off the air. This is about Roman. It's not about a big angle. Do that next week.
Yeah, and I'm not, and I don't think it's like, oh, there's Wade being, you know, being a wimp or being a, you know, whatever kind of. It's just like, all right, you just think the timing's, you know, and that's just, that's fine. But back to when you said Wade about.
No, Travis, I think you're a bad person now.
You've always thought.
And you too,
that.
And you too, Gilbert. All right.
But when you said earlier that this was that promo, telling the world he had leukemia and has had it before and is going to have to deal with it, how that was a defining moment for him, and I think it's a defining moment for the audience as well. Like once they realized, like they stopped on a dime, like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, like he said, my real name's Joe, and I think that was the last time someone said, like, you know, there was like a what or, you know, kind of a snarky thing, you know, kind of groan. And then when he said, I've battled leukemia since I was 22 or whatever, 11 years ago, people went, hold up. This is not time to be, you know, I hate Roman Reigns guy. And so I, you know, it's, you know, you want to congratulate people for being decent human beings, but, you know, wrestling fans aren't known for, not getting, you know, trying to get themselves over at times when they shouldn't. So just.
I will come to the defense of wrestling fans in saying you are right, Travis, but I find that in all walks of life. And I don't necessarily find it more in pro wrestling fans. Sometimes it's a little more bombastic.
Well, they have an opportunity all the time to get themselves over.
I see. Because every week, twice a week, or however many times. Good point. Yeah, there are opportunities there. Well, let me go back to Gilbert. Appreciate you calling and kind of kicking off the caller portion here. Go ahead with any other thoughts or questions.
I just want to say, I mean, I've booed Roman Reigns every single time I've seen him in a live WWE show. But right now, I think everybody, we're on the same page. We're rooting for him. And I hope that he beats leukemia and he has the comeback where he becomes the biggest babyface in wrestling history. We're rooting for you, Roman.
I hope he gets to see his kids grow up and grow old and live a long life and beats this, whether he decides to ever return to the ring or not. If he does, and I think if he beats leukemia, I think he'll be back. But let me finish this point, though. But
sure.
We can eliminate completely. Well, no, we can't. Well, yeah, we can. Almost. That he'll ever be a heel. I mean, I guess it's WWE, it's pro wrestling. You can't eliminate it. If a big breakout babyface happens and 4 years from now or 2 years from now, Roman comes back and they see money in Roman telling off the fans for not sending enough cards and booing him all those years and those boos, you know, like, I mean, there's all kinds of either tasteless or tasteful ways they could do it. I guess I can't rule it out, but I'll put it this way. I don't see a circumstance where if Roman is presented as a babyface, that he will be booed for a very long time in that presentation of being a babyface. Now, maybe after a few years, people sort of forget that, you know, when he was in his early 30s, we didn't like him very much, and now we're growing tired of him again. We'll start booing him, and they kind of forget about the leukemia comeback. But obviously, when he comes back, and let's say when, there'll be no boos in the crowd. And if there are, somebody should slap that person upside the head if they're standing next to him. And I'm not one for encouraging violence, but, you know, at least stomp on their toes. Yeah.
I would like to – I don't – benefit of the doubt isn't a – but give the WWE, like, health staff his – like, if you're a guy, if you're the number one guy, like, the most money-making, you know, for just whatever, for story's sake, he's the top guy. That's obvious. He makes the most money. He's the most protected. And has a history of a thing, I'm sure they're all over it. He's probably getting his lymph nodes and his blood done every month. Like, there's no way he's not. So as far as, like, catching it early, I'm sure he's they caught it probably as early as, you know, you could, just considering what he means to that company with the kind of resources that they have. Like, no way he wasn't, you know, getting a battery of things done on a regular.
Yeah, I am real curious.
Even if he had to push it just personally, like, hey, I've got access to all this state-of-the-art stuff. You guys need to make sure I'm – but I'm sure he didn't have to. Either way, I'm sure they caught it early and he's taken care of.
We'll learn a lot more about I don't know if we – I was going to say we'll learn a lot more about his condition. But, I mean, he has every right to keep it 100% private. I mean, the way –
that's not something that can leak. You know, or certainly that should.
I'll say the interaction that I had with his colleagues this weekend, wondering about why he was no showing, indicated strongly to me, based on some of the things that they said, they had no idea that he was going through this. I was just told, oh, he probably got the weekend off, and it was sort of a shoulder shrug, like, well, privileged wrestlers get weekends off if they need it, and it wasn't a particularly sympathetic point of view, you know, from the wrestlers I interacted with. If it was known, it was a small circle. And I mean, the way that like Cole and Graves and Renee were talking about Roman on his way to the ring, they're like, oh, he's got a lot on his mind and it's a title defense coming up and what happened with Braun last week and what's going on with Dean. And then, you know, it didn't seem like they were clued in because they were so genuinely emotionally distraught afterwards. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine them holding it together the way that they did. I don't know if it's fair. I don't know.
That's the part I take issue with more than the angle at the end or doing it. It's like, is that if it's Roman's call, then that's different. Then there is no is that fair. But is that fair to put people in that position to you're going to find out when the public finds out? Like, you're all together there in that arena since 3 p.m, you know, that day, probably earlier. Again, if Roman's like, I don't want to call a meeting and make a big deal of it because I won't be able to do what I have to do maybe later on air, maybe if he knows himself emotionally, then I take everything back. But if it's like a WWE call to, hey, let's spring it on everybody except me and two other people that already know. That's kind of where I get like, I'm not sure how I feel about that exactly. Because this isn't hiding somebody in a bus, you know, before you know, as a surprise run in at the Rumble you know, whatever, a return.
Oh, exactly. I sure hope Dean and I sure hope Roman at least took Dean and Seth into a room, and talked to them. Today, I mean, I was told earlier, you know, if I have somebody backstage at WWE early afternoon, Roman's here. He looks fine. You know, if he it doesn't look like he was out with an injury, but you know, people can walk around but still have a problem with something that prevented them from wrestling.
Sure.
But he looked fine. You know, there weren't early clues of anything when he arrived. But I would hope he took his closest friends, at least Dean and Seth, into a room and told them ahead of time. I'm curious about that, and I'm with you. I don't think it's fair for friends as tightly knit as wrestlers are, and not everybody loves everybody, and not everybody hangs out together. But obviously, everybody has their clique, their groups, their friends, and I hope that Roman let's put it this way. I hope he wasn't pressured into not telling his closest friends about this. I'm assuming a small circle knew, and obviously Vince McMahon knew. I mean, the way things went with Braun Strowman last week, and certainly at house shows, where Braun was just attacking Drew and Dolph at the house shows this weekend, they had to be setting things up for Braun to go babyface again. Now, you can say that would have happened even if Roman didn't get diagnosed, and maybe this was something that came up Friday or Thursday with Roman, where test results came back. It's not it could work either way, but it seems as if possibly Vince McMahon knew, even if the wrestlers didn't quite understand what was going on with the booking. Maybe Vince, you know, was privy to this, and maybe he's been privy for a long time. We just don't – I mean, it's right after Raw, and we're all in shock, and we have very limited information on when he knew and how long he's been.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation of things. We'll – again, like you said, we'll find out, or we won't, because reasons.
Yeah, and it's – I will not pry, and I don't feel I'm owed – nobody should feel they're owed any information. This is about Roman and his family and his best friends, and it's none
like we know it.
Of
we,
our
we,
business.
We're owed as much as we got. Like, we got an explanation. We know what he's going to be dealing with for the next, you know, probably years, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. That's all we deserve to know.
I agree. Well, we deserve to know what Roman wants to share. And that's 100% up to him. It's not up to WWE. It's not up to us to demand anything. He's a public figure. He is no longer a public figure when he lays the belt down and says, I'm going to go spend time with my family and fight the recurrence of leukemia. Now, he's no longer a public figure. I mean, like, he is in the sense that he can utilize it, but it's not up to us to demand anything of him. And so, you know, now it's in his hands how much information he wants to share. And I respect any decision he makes in that regard.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get some more calls in here, and we'll go to... let's go to... they're out of order. 814 next, and then 408 on deck. 814, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, Ryan. What did you think? What are your thoughts?
I just have some questions on this situation. Have there ever been any wrestlers that have been able to come back from leukemia, and has Roman actually been wrestling this disease for a while? Do you know? And do you know anything about when he did have it and how long it took him to overcome it the first time?
Good questions, and I don't know the answers to any of them. I've been trying to think, Travis, and I just have. I mean, I've been catching up on covering Raw and setting up the show, and I haven't had a chance to really think back about wrestlers who have gone through cancer and then come back. Hacksaw Duggan comes to mind as someone who did make some comeback matches, but I think it was after his retirement that he got diagnosed, and then did have some comeback matches. I'm trying to think of a wrestler, and there might be, you know, 1, 2, 3 obvious answers that are just escaping me. Jason Paul in his report couldn't think of anybody over at ProWrestling.net. I read over his take on things. Anyone come to mind, Travis?
It doesn't, but I would like to ask you and Ryan as well, was there an unnecessary praise given to WWE? I mean, just simply timeline-wise, Roman says, you know, when I was 22, I was, you know, I didn't have a crib, I didn't have a home, a job, football was done with me, and I had a kid on the way, but and no team came for me or held me together or something, but the team at WWE, like, took care of me. Oh, being broke and having to go through, you know, cancer treatment and whatever he did to get well. Is that true? Like, how does that line up in 11, you know, when Roman is 22 years old? Like, okay, your family is in the business. They had WXW and, you know, in Allentown. That's, you know, you wrestled there. But what is, like, I just thought that was just, like, unnecessary, like, kind of, to me, easily disprovable thing. What is this the time to go? I don't know. I felt weird about that when I heard it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if it did not ring necessarily true.
I mean, he played. He went undrafted in 2007 in the NFL draft. He signed by the Minnesota Vikings, but was released after a month in training camp. And then he played in the CFL, in Canadian Football League. And I remember him talking, I think it was to Sam Roberts, about, you know, just it was not a great situation for him. It was, I can't remember all the details. Just it wasn't the dream that he was aiming for, and the pay wasn't good, and it just wasn't, his head wasn't in it. And then he retired in 2008 from pro football, and then in 2010 moved into the developmental territory. So, I mean, football's done with you, not when you can help them help teams win, but when you can't help teams win compared to other players who are trying out for the same spots. It's not a family, it's a business of winning. So, you know, scapegoating football, or saying, not scapegoat, saying, you know, football wasn't there for me. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I bet if you made the team, the teammates would have been there for you, and you didn't, and it wasn't personal. It's just, that's just the hard facts of pro sports. To say that WWE gave him his purpose in life, gave him a new calling with his family being, you know, having a history in it and him deciding to go into it. I mean, I think he probably looks at it as saving him from a lack of direction. You know, we talked in another interview about building building furniture with his family and his heart not being in it.
Right. I think that could be all in well true, but that's not what he said. To me, or at least I took it as I had bills and nobody was there for me, but WWE was. And I'm like, and I could be completely wrong. Like, no, they saw him. They saw him as a pedigree and took care of his bills, you know, but before he was even in WXW and doing and training with Alpha and those guys. So again, I don't know. It just, from what the little bit of information and knowledge that I do know, it just didn't seem like a genuine statement. But again, I could be nitpicking. Sorry.
Yeah. I think, you know, when I'm thinking of wrestlers, as we're talking of who have battled cancer, John Tenta, Earthquake, John Studd, Brickhouse Brown recently, Matt Capitelli from Tough Enough died at age 38 earlier this year of brain cancer.
Billy Graham, cancer.
Yeah, you know, but again, those are, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of like somebody in the, I mean, Matt Capitelli counts in the sense that, you know, he was wrestling when the diagnosis came and it ended his career. I can't think of, again, there's probably several answers to somebody who was, you know, near the top of the card, you know, kind of in that span of prime years and really young where it got taken away. But I guess Matt Capitelli comes to mind as maybe the most obvious. Anyway, let's go back to calls. Thanks, Ryan. We'll go to 408 next, and then 210 after that. 408. Thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Antonio from Hayward, California.
Hey, thanks for calling, Antonio. What's up?
So I'm still kind of trying to process this whole thing. So I do want to address the Seth and Dean thing, and I do have a comment about Roman. Which one do you guys want to talk about first?
Do Seth Dean first.
Okay, Seth and Dean, I don't have a problem with the angle in the end of the night. I think it makes sense to me from a storyline standpoint. And especially now that we know the whole reason for the Shield to reunite is to put Roman over. Now that Roman doesn't have to be put over, he's going away for a while. Like, there's no really real reason to keep them together. So I'm totally okay with it. In a way, it kind of gives me a little bit more to look forward to the next week programming and see what that leads. And also very interesting that they won the titles, like, right before he turned. And to me, it doesn't seem like a full turn, even though, like, it was a pretty vicious beatdown. He hasn't explained why he did what he did. So there's still room there for
where's our room?
Please explain.
Like, I wasn't thinking straight.
I wonder what kind of friends you have if there's room for that kind of treatment, and then you're like,
you don't want to know about
that. good answer.
No, but like, hear me out though. Like, so the way I look at it, since Dean came back, even before Dean was hurt, like the glue that glued like the relationship back together after Seth turned on them so many years ago was Roman, because Dean was always tied with Roman. Now that Roman's out of the picture, to me, it feels like pretty natural that Dean was like, no, you know what? I never got over what you did to us. So I was only here because I was here for Roman. Now that Roman's going to go away, like, you're paying me back for what you did to all of us. So in a way, he can still cut a promo that get fans behind his back, like behind him, because his reason is there. Like, Seth, what Seth did never really got rectified in my, like,
what?
from a
it was
fan
like two
standpoint.
Years of rectification.
Hey, I hold grudges. you don't know me.
Crew of mean friends.
No, I mean, to be honest, like, I never got the sense that Dean was 100% over it. So
yeah, no, that's a good point. They have played that, and that's part, you know, you could see a person with that kind of personality never like really getting over it. And it's what they've played it, how they've played it in the last few weeks. I haven't been a fan, but again, it didn't come out of nowhere. It made a lot of sense in the storyline, you know, continuity.
So
it wasn't Elias turning clunkily and all that kind of nonsense.
Right. Yeah, to me, it didn't feel like forced, and it makes sense. And like I said, to me, like Dean, one of the reasons Dean was hanging around is probably because he's still tight with Roman. He's kind of tolerating Seth.
That makes sense.
Now that Roman's gone, he's like, okay, screw you.
What's your other thing with the Roman? I guess you had something to.
So Roman, the only issue I had with Roman, like as a fan, that I didn't want to be 100% behind him. My problem with him always was because, like, hey, if you really care about your job and you have pride in your work and they book you as a babyface, you go out there and cut silly promos that the writer gave you and it didn't work. You should know. You should know that the crowd isn't behind it. Like, you should have the balls to go to Vince and say, hey, this is not working out. Like, do something. Either give me something different to do or turn me heel.
Or let me write my own babyface promos. Like, don't let some silly writer.
Exactly.
That don't know how to...
The whole time. The whole time, the problem that I had with him, I don't feel like he was driven. Like, I don't feel like he gave a crap about his character. But now that I know what he was battling in the past 11 years, that put a different perspective for me. Like, for somebody who survived cancer... Mm-hmm. And, like, his number one priority is his wife and his kids. He probably doesn't care. He probably doesn't sweat the small things. Not
he just wants to do what
way,
he's told
but...
and get rich. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess
yeah, but,
from that perspective,
even,
that interview
yeah, even,
and that comment
even,
makes...
Even, exact, even looking at the quote, even looking at the same quote that you just said in this kind of new perspective that I had for him, I can respect that. Like who knows what can be taken away from you tomorrow and what you like,
but,
the good health that you have.
I
you probably had a different perspective.
But I certainly, and Wade certainly, could make an argument that, you would probably be set up in a much better position right now. Say he just never can come back. It's just never. You know, he probably could have made a whole lot more money if he was, you know, positioned himself better and took control of his career and his character, I should say.
What I'm saying is that I have more respect for him now, and I'm more forgiving about his attitude that I didn't like before. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
makes sense?
I understand what you're saying, Antonio. I really do. That said, I think it showed a bad judgment to give fans a window into an attitude that said, I just am doing what I'm told and hope to make money. You know, like, I just think, like, you can think that, but you shouldn't say it. You know, like, it can be a good attitude behind the scenes. I just don't think you let fans in on it. And I think that, you know, that was symptomatic of one of the things that kind of, I think, turned some fans off to cheering for him. It is a sense of not necessarily kind of being a mark for the business like a lot of guys are, you know, to use a phrase I'm not even that big of a fan of, but I'm not quite sure how else to phrase it. Like, I think fans want to think wrestlers are living their dream, and Roman didn't always give off that vibe. I mean, he might not have intended for that to be the vibe he gave off, but as we spent years diagnosing the huge negative reactions that turned into a big story in WWE, I think one of them was that demeanor of just like, I'm kind of, you know, like John Cena, we call it, you know, it's the over, John Cena's over it, you know, like the last couple of years since that Baron Corbin SummerSlam match, it just seems like Cena's over it. Like, he's moved on, he turned 40. And Roman sort of started that way, you know, like he sort of gave that vibe off to some fans. And obviously there's a lot of incredibly great things he did, and there's a tremendous talent. And as I've said many times on the air, even though people think I'm like anti-Roman, I'm anti-Roman as a face, the way he was framed. And I think he said some boneheaded things on mainstream interviews and scripted to say dumb things on the air. All those criticisms, I've also said over and over, from what I hear, is one of the better guys in the business. One of his colleagues just, you know, messaged me tonight and just said he's a great guy and this is super sad. It's not even like one of his best friends. Just that's how he was seen. You know, like, he was a cool guy behind the scenes. Go with the flow. I think he used some bad judgment in letting people in on some things like that, and I think it bled through sometimes in his on-air persona. And we've diagnosed that. We've dissected that over and over, you know, in a way. I mean, not that we can't ever talk about it again. It's a big chapter. His pre-announcement tonight, up until this moment, was a big chapter in WWE, and there's lessons to be learned and memories to be reflected upon. But we're in a different place now. You know, I mean, it's not... You know, we don't need to fix anything that's broken, that because none of that matters right now.
Is it too early, Wade, to ask who's the guy now? Is it Braun Strowman?
Yeah. It's Braun. It's Seth. A lot. You know, Bobby Lashley turned heel. Dean Ambrose turned heel, and Roman Reigns is off the roster. That's three openings. Seth was a babyface. Braun is clearly a babyface. And now the question is, who is that third person who's going to step up and be a major babyface on the roster? Do they just elevate Finn Balor?
If they think it's Elias, I think they're kidding themselves.
Well, no. But I've already covered him as like two of the. There's three spots that opened, and he's two of them. That's a whole other show. You know, evaluating whether they're good choices or whether it's going to work. I'm just saying, like in their mind, when they're trying to pair off people, and go, all right, we need four or five top guys and four or five top guys to pair. I'm just saying, Lashley turned heel, so Elias turns face, and that's an even trade. Roman is off the roster, so Braun, we got to go back face. That's a fair trade. And now you got Dean going heel, so how does that shake out? Well, I think either Finn Balor gets a bigger push, or Kevin Owens, when he comes back, and it might be months, maybe he comes back as a babyface. The other option is we're not too far, somewhere down the road, once we get past the next program that Drew probably will have with Braun, is Drew McIntyre in for a huge babyface push and kind of be the guy who actually ultimately fills Roman's spot. It might take a year and a half to get there or less, but to me, he's kind of the guy that I'd have my eye on, but I don't think it's in the next 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Antonio, any final words from you? I want to get to other callers here before we run too long.
Yeah, I didn't want to hold you guys up any longer, but you brought up a good point. I am actually very, like, a huge fan of Drew McIntyre, and I hope that with this reshuffling, unfortunate circumstances aside, I hope that he gets, like, a little bit more attention from, you know, creative and give him something better to do. I just don't want him to be, like, shoved down our throat the way Vince have been doing with Roman the past few years. But I had a lot of high hopes for Drew. That's it.
All right, cool. Antonio, appreciate the conversation. All right, let's go to 210 and then 504 on deck. 210, thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Stacy from San Antonio.
Stacy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
I just had a weird kind of question, I guess. But at the end of the show, I just kept hearing Dean Ambrose kept saying, "Why did you say that to Seth?" And then when he threw Seth into the timekeeper area, he told Seth to watch his mouth. But I didn't pick up on Seth actually saying anything.
Well, they bleeped it
at the end.
They bleeped something, and I'm not sure. I thought it was someone in the crowd, but maybe it was Seth. That's specifically the watch your mouth stuff. And Seth just, or Dean kind of just stuck with that for the next 30 or 40 seconds, even after, you know, the initial swear word. But the why did you say that stuff before that, I was wondering, like, what did Seth say? Like, Seth was talking to him, like, kind of like, what do you do? And do you, like, as he's getting, like, beat up. So I thought maybe it was that, but it seemed a little more intense than just something he's drowsily saying in his, you know.
Well, let me jump in, because I think I had the answer, and this is from looking at Jason Paul's report, because he observed, and it might be obvious. I think he was referring to, and maybe I'm wrong, and you guys will call me out, but I think he was referring to Seth calling him a lunatic last week, and that they're just going forward with the storyline. Like, this might have been planned. You know, watch your damn mouth. It's you called me a lunatic last week. Say it again. I just think Dean's snapping because Seth called him a lunatic, which, again, in my opinion, is they needed to call an audible and put that off a week. This was a night to end, you know, with the
Stacey, emotions. Do you think it was tasteless, or do you think they what was the poll, Wade? How'd you phrase it?
Was it a wrong night and tasteless, or great timing and high impact, or you're not sure yet? Stacey?
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I totally understand.
I don't think it was necessarily tasteless, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's a fair stance to take. Yeah. Anything else for us?
No, that was all. I just didn't know why or what Seth had said to Dean. If it was from last week, I don't think it.
I guess that makes sense.
They meshed it very well together.
Yeah, hopefully next week they can explain it. I mean, if we kind of unpack the timeline of everything, if, you know, who knows what would have happened tonight, and if if this didn't happen with Roman. You know, I don't know. I have to kind of unpack that.
I'm pretty sure someone did curse. Like, I think it might have been an audience, someone in the audience. I think that's specifically what the – but go as he left, like, most people were like, what's your problem, Dean? You suck. Why'd you do that? But the last, you know, 20 steps – there were some fans like, he got what he deserved.
No.
He turned for a reason. He's got his reasons. Give him, cut him some slack. Someone came through and it was kind of hilarious.
Yes. It was like when I booed Jimmy Butler on Friday night at the Timberwolves home opener and a season ticket holder turned around and gave me a lecture on how that was wrong. And I'm like, no, stand on my ground here, dude. You didn't hit. I'm with you on Wiggins and Towns not being as competitive as I'd wish, but you don't skip training camp and then start lecturing your teammates about being the best team player, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, there's always those fans in the crowd. Stacey, I really appreciate you calling. Hopefully we can hear from you again.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Yep, you bet. All right, we'll go to 504 next and 857 thereafter. 504, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
My name's Jason, calling from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Thanks for calling, Jason. Are you a football fan?
I am a football fan.
It's going to be a good game
coming up, right, Wade?
I know, and I am so not happy it's head-to-head with Evolution. Yeah. I'm going to turn off all social media, cover Evolution, beg Bruce and Todd not to mention anything in the post-show, and then DVR speed through that Viking game. The Saints game. That's going to be a blast.
Ooh, good luck.
Just real quick on Evolution.
Well, I should have said it. Now everyone's going to.
No, you'd be better off just faking your way, watching the game and faking your way through the post game with Bruce. Just let them carry the show.
I'm not sitting here today because I do that stuff. I can't. All right. Life advice from Travis. Put a big sports game ahead of your job. Anyway.
No job, prospective job. No. You know, managers are listening to say that.
Yeah, I will say this. If it weren't for DVRs, in the old days, I set up two TVs. Like the Twins, Game 7 of the World Series, I think it was Game 7 for the Twins back in 91, it was head-to-head with the WCW Halloween Havoc pay-per-view. And I set up two, and I didn't even have to like do a post-show back in the day, but I just set two TVs up next to each other, and that was hard to watch. I mean, a World Series in a sports town that never sees that kind of thing, that was crazy. But anyway, Jason, go. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Recently started watching wrestling again after a 14-year hiatus. And so imagine my surprise that I'm looking at Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, who I never liked even back then when I watched it. I mean, is there – you think
wait, you're coming back like within the last month? You're back within the last month?
I came back in February, not within the last month, but I came back in February and then,
okay, so this year,
you know, a lot's happened. So I had to learn a whole new roster.
Of course.
Interesting.
And so, I only came back because of the Ronda Rousey announcement, right?
Stop. I can only.
What made me stop? Well, I was I'm sorry, it was breaking up, but what made me stop watching back then was The Rock left to go to Hollywood. Kurt Angle, left. He was injured and went to TNA. Austin retired. It was pretty much just Triple H. And all of my favorite guys were gone.
Yeah.
And it just, it was became boring, I guess, in a way. I just, you know, what I didn't know it was called the Attitude Era at that time, but it just, I could feel that it was ending. And I was like, nah, it's just not exciting anymore.
Yeah, so what about tonight? Because we got to get through calls. Travis, stop getting his whole life story. We got to go.
Okay, sorry, yeah.
No, I'm not mad at you, Jason. It's just Travis wants to spend. Have him on the East Coast Cast. You can talk to him for an hour.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah. Now, just seeing there was no reaction for this Triple H, Shawn Michaels promo, and then whatever's going on with the Undertaker and Kane in the boiler room. I mean, do you
maybe
think
talk
this
about
is something
death
with,
and burying
we're
people
going
tonight?
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, they were in
Jason.
A graveyard tonight. That's right. Yeah. Shoveling dirt on people. Yeah. It's just the Undertaker at the show in Australia. He just looked old. It was hard to watch, you know. I mean, do you think they're going to keep bringing this guy back? Or are we just going to sort of have an end, final end to the Undertaker thing? Because it's just, it's not good.
No, and this is happening because, you know, dirty money in an out of proportion amount got thrown at WWE, and they had to fulfill Saudi prince's Fantasy Camp Dream card, and it's not good. And then it brings out the worst in Triple H. You got Shawn Michaels playing his you know, Robin to Triple H Batman, which is, with all due respect, backward. What, Travis? You're losing it.
No, I don't want to compare the caller to Mohammed bin Salman in that, you know, he wants, you know, all his favorites, but, you know, he wants his Kurt Angle and he wants his Shawn Michaels and he wants his Undertaker on the show. And just, you know, we were talking to the guy, you know, earlier about why he left. So, sorry.
Well, no, but I don't think seeing them come back under these circumstances in a storyline, it doesn't make sense. I mean, that Triple H is like, he's trying to make his case for why he's still better than everybody else. And it's like, you're not helping things. And he's like, well, but there's all the current guys on the main roster, we're better than them. But all the NXT guys, because that's my team, they're going to be better than everybody today. It's like, why are you putting over yourself, your job promoting as head coach of NXT when presumably you're trying to be a heel, but you're also trying to justify why you're in a top spot getting big paydays? I don't know. It's just the whole thing. I'm with Jason from New Orleans. I think he thinks it's not good, and I don't think it's good. I think it's the hype for this is a mess, and this is not what people wanted when Michaels came back. I don't think at all. Jason.
No.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. Right. It's a mess, and you can hear Triple H trying to build a story. Isn't that what everybody says? Oh, wrestling's missing good storytelling. There's no story here. It's four retired guys. I mean, we know as fans that Kane is the real life mayor in, you know, Knox County, Tennessee, and he's got short hair. So when I see him with long hair and dressed like this, I'm like, dude, you're a mayor, and we know this. So what are you doing? It just, none of it makes sense. And clearly that the Saudi money adds another layer of not goodness to it. It's just, what is this?
This is a thing.
I hope this goes away really soon.
Hunter's promos are about Hunter and his insecurities and building up his ego and his legend. And he will stomp on and tear apart anything in his path to do it, including the entire current day roster. We saw it when he was hyping the Undertaker match. You know, we're the last of the Smash Mouth wrestlers. It's like, oh, well, yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, after your match, we'll tune out. It was fun being a fan of WWE. You've convinced me there's nothing to watch for. I mean, it was just such a dumb thing to say years ago. And he's out there doing the same thing. And now he's undercutting Kane's gimmick on the air, trying to get himself over for being all smart. And then you got Michaels doing these obnoxious insider references that 20 years ago would have been, whoa. Oh, I thought legends meant merch money. It's like, wink, wink, nod, nod. It's like, no, Sean, you're 20 years too late with that stupid quip. You're supposed to get people to care about your match, not make Scott Hall-esque, NWO-esque insider comments that are super cool about how it's all about merch money and you're a capitalist. It's like, get us into the match and stop with trying to get yourself over with overly dated jokes. And then, you know, yeah, it's just like everything about that promo just irritated me. And it's everything about this feud irritates me. Undertaker's being a pro doing his thing. I also thought the whole tone of that was a little grim given the circumstances of the night too. It just felt like,
totally,
you know, this wasn't the night for, you know, just air that next week. So yeah,
or not at all.
Yeah. There you go. Triple H is, I think he and I line up a lot on what we like about professional wrestling and how it should be portrayed. I am not a fan of Triple H promos post full-time career, and I had issues with him during his regular career when he had prickishly undercut people for absolutely no reason, sometimes who he was feuding with and other times who he wasn't, because for whatever reason, it's just, he sucks the oxygen out of the room and it's all about him and there's no consistency to his character and blah, blah, blah. I could go on. I did not like this promo tonight at all, and I don't think, I don't know, yeah. Anyway, I've said what I've said. Jason, anything else for us?
No, just a request. I know, yeah, we'll talk. Y'all will talk a lot more about Roman for tonight, but just to get your thoughts on the latest with Ronda and Nikki.
Great.
I thought that was
loved it.
Another really good promo, scathing, you know, from Nikki bringing up her mom, and I really love that. So I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
Jason, I love that you brought that up. Thank you. Because now I can be the guy who doesn't, oh, he hates everything going on today. I love that. I thought.
Yeah, I seem so insensitive, don't I?
No, you're not at all. I loved Rhonda in this. I thought she was great. I thought the Bellas were great. I thought their facial expressions, their body language, the scripting was cleaned up and felt more realistic. The stuff about, you know, you promised, you gave your word to your mom, and it's like, oh, I can't believe they went there. Rhonda's response was great. She was mad. Then she laughed it off and considered the source. And then she realized, I got you on Sunday. I'm going to be a pro, and I'm going to tear you apart. I will end you on Sunday. I loved it. Travis, what'd you think?
So I didn't necessarily like the mom stuff, not because it's like mom stuff. It just didn't think it was, it just wasn't great. But I did like the word is my word is my bond, and the slap, which was a legit slap. I mean, you saw the red, you saw the teary eye, and Rhonda no selling it, and then turning her back on both of them, and then Nikki going, gulp, what am I going to do with into this woman on Sunday? That part was perfect.
You know what it did? It
made like, me, Rhonda no selling it was so scary.
It was great. And I loved, like, Nikki was trying to still be a brat and confident, and yeah, Brie couldn't hold it together. Like, she's like, oh God, I think I'm going to not have a sister, you know, anymore. And what this did is it kept me in the universe that WWE's narrative exists in, and it made me want to see the fight, and it made me root for one over the other. And to me, that's check, check, check. That's what an angle should do. Don't leave the universe. Don't go on the street and run over a kid in a car and then show me the angle from the dead kid's eyes looking up at the gang that beat him up or ran him over or the paramedics leaning over to whatever that happened there on Impact. Don't talk about Kane being a mayor. That's not the world we're in right now. Don't talk about merch sales in a wink nod way to try to be all 98 clever. Oh, just Michael's just so irritating now. I don't know who's worse, Hunter or Michaels right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not at the exclusion of elsewhere, just for sure now. Sure. And Rhonda and the Bellas, they got it. They made it about the match. They made us want to see one win and one lose. They talked about the fight and the outcome is what matters. It's not about legends. It's not about trying to justify your spot on the card at your age with the decrepit matches you've been having. None of that. That's what I want to see on shows.
I take a bit of an issue with the announcers, but I understand the position they're put in, that they have to try to make it seem like it's going to be a competitive match. I'm of the mindset that this thing shouldn't go 3 minutes. Yeah. Nikki Bella has no credibility to make. I mean, it's just not even close. So they have to make it say, oh, long as Divas champ, all this stuff. And it's just like, sure, whatever you say, Corey Graves. Like, her arm will be hanging by a tendon at the end of that, at the end of Evolution.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. All right, we'll do 857 and then maybe one or two more calls. So stand by, everybody, if you can. I just touched base with our on-site correspondent. He is standing by, so but we're good on that front. So 857, you're up. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, how's it going? This is Yusuf calling from Boston.
Great, thanks, Yusuf. What's on your mind?
So most people have kind of already echoed the sentiments I've had regarding Roman and also the Dean turn. So instead of repeating what a lot of people said, I guess I'll bring up another thing. I don't know if you guys were aware, or but prior to Raw starting, either earlier today or yesterday, I'm not sure when, I read on the internet somewhere, I forget what the source was, so basically there were rumors of John Cena and Daniel Bryan opting out of the Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
And yeah, I haven't really seen anything come up since then about that. And then obviously on Raw tonight, there were still promos for Crown Jewel. Nothing has really changed other than the Roman part, obviously. But like, there was a whole Kurt Angle promo for the whole World Cup tournament. So that hasn't really changed, I guess. So is there any, you know, are those rumors substantial? Or is it just speculation? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I haven't reported on it yet because I haven't heard definitively either way. And I just don't know. And the source, I can't remember who it was. Somebody online said he has gotten scoops before. I believe the same source said that Reigns was injured. And that's why I wasn't at house shows this weekend. Now, that could have been a very, very understandable and natural interpretation of someone telling him it was health issues. And he just assumed, them an injury, and he broke the news. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. John Cena got skewered on John Oliver's show on HBO, and
The Rock got called out on Twitter by prominent left leaning progressive types.
He got called out by Steve Schmidt, former campaign manager for Senator
John not McCain. So left leaning.
That was a big headline on PWTorch.com last week. Yeah, that a Republican called him out, and others have too. So yeah, it was a very impassioned speech from Steve Schmidt saying, "Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I respect you, I like you. You absolutely need to stand up and make your position clear." So here's the thing: John Cena skewered on John Oliver. It would be, I won't say, you know, a career killer, but if it's a purely pragmatic calculation, it's a really bad look for John Cena to go back there and be skewered again and look like he, you know, now that he got called out, he doesn't care. Daniel Bryan, I can totally see, you know, with his, what I believe are his political views, although this is running both sides. This is not a Democrat-Republican battle of misinformation or different philosophical beliefs. Just about everybody's anti-Saudi Arabia right now with a very small executive branch, small group exception. I wouldn't be surprised if it's more than Bryan and Cena, but those are two big names. So it rang true to me, but I haven't independently confirmed it, nor have I reported it or put my name behind it.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bryan had issue at the greatest Royal Rumble, but, you know, went.
Yeah, I could see that too. This would have been a big story if not for everything else, obviously. But they did not mention Saudi Arabia once, right, Travis?
That's what I was wanting to bring up because I was going to say something did change since starting last Monday on Raw. We asked on East Coast Cast, will they just stop mentioning it? Well, no, they didn't stop mentioning Crown Jewel, but they certainly wasn't telling you where it was going to be.
Well, they didn't last Monday or Tuesday on SmackDown, and then they announced the ticket sales on Wednesday, and they put it in Saudi Arabia online, and then Friday, ticket sales were supposed to launch, and they removed Saudi Arabia from the listing again. There's all kinds of reasons that might have happened. The most logical reason is they were going to go forward with it, and then more news came out or more pressure came in, and they decided to wait it out again. They haven't announced a new site. There's not a lot of time to do it. But it's on that Friday, you know, a week from Friday, they got to hope they can fill a decent sized building in Europe or somewhere otherwise, or bring it to a military, a local military base in the United States or something where they can just get a crowd like a tribute to the troops. I don't know. I'm sure they have. I know that they've been looking at alternate plans for weeks now. But I think they continue to, quote, monitor the situation, and they are absolutely doing the right thing to the degree of not just sticking with their guns and saying we're going to Saudi Arabia. But did JBL give it away on Fox News last week when he said, well, their stances are monitoring the situation, but they're going to go there? Like, I did not think he was helping matters in putting it that way. And I wrote that in an article on PWTorch.com.
He also
too.
Didn't help when he talked about how, you know, we did the bull crap about affecting change and, you know,
it's
nonsense.
You forever have zero credibility on issues if you say that with a straight face on behalf of your boss who stands to earn, you know, near $1 billion is on the line. I mean, it's like,
and it's literally the same. It's like watching, you know, cable news, corners of cable news where it's like, oh, they got the memo.
Yeah.
And literally, you could just run a tape like, you know, it's like a John Oliver would do, where you got a screen of 12 people saying the exact same thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, they got the memo, and everybody has their talk. It's Randy Orton, JBL, Undertaker. Yeah, everybody, same thing. Well, we got to affect change. We got to go. We got to, yeah, shut up. You know.
Wow. Yeah. I don't even know what to say. Anyway, Yusuf, go ahead.
I completely agree with all your points. And actually, like I mentioned, I live in Boston, but I'm actually originally from Kuwait, and so we're neighbors with Saudi Arabia. I'm very happy to see that they're getting a lot of flack for this, and it's getting a lot of mainstream attention, and that WWE is being pressured against this because, you know, for a long time we've had a lot of issues with, you know, Saudi Arabia, and everyone in our region has known.
What they
really like, right? Exactly, but like. Unfortunately, throughout history, and including my own country, you know, we're not any better. We've dealt with them, turned the other eye and all that stuff. Yeah. And then even when they did the Greatest Royal Rumble, before all the propaganda videos came on during the main event show, as soon as they announced that show, all of us back home just kind of laughed at it because we knew exactly what it is. And so I really hope that these rumors, I really hope that these rumors regarding John Cena and Danny Bryan and maybe other people turn out to be true, because, the world shouldn't stand for this. And it's about time that more and more people take a stand. And if WWE has to take a loss of millions of dollars just to prove a point, then, something positive has to come out of it.
I think it's pretty clear what the right thing to do is. And it's also really clear how painful it's going to be. And I also understand the complications because Linda McMahon is in Trump's cabinet and Donald Trump, President Trump seems more determined than any public figure to try to find a way to keep the relationship positive with Saudi Arabia for whatever reasons there are. And there's some speculated nefarious reasons. And as president, he might be privy to other reasons for national security, whatever. We can read about that, talk about it in other contexts. But it is a fact that's complicated. And by the way, check out my interview from last Friday on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast, the blue logo. This is our red logo show. And just search Wade Keller if you missed it. I had the author from Trump Mania on the program, Lavie Margolin. And we spent an hour talking about the whole history of Vince McMahon and Donald Trump in a business sense and also kind of on a personal level. Right. Fascinating interview. If anybody listening to this missed that, seriously, search Wade Keller, download the show. It's an interesting history between these two fascinating people who same age, very similar backgrounds. There's a real kinship between them that is probably even underestimated in the mainstream media.
Real quick, it sucks that as individuals, as a country, as a Western society, that it takes a high profile individual to all of a sudden care what Saudi Arabia is doing when, hey, there's a genocide going on right now. Not to be that guy, but it's like that has been happening for a long time. But it's like one of those.
No one bats an eye.
Yeah, but it's like that is true, but you take the quote unquote victory. Nobody, certainly Khashoggi's family doesn't feel like they're winning, but you take the victory of spreading their shame or at least getting the story out there that they're brutal, authoritarian, Wahhabist driven.
It's better late than never.
So yeah, exactly.
I'm glad you said that, Travis, because I was thinking about how sometimes, but I want to say this, like some people go, well, how can you react this way to the journalist dying in this horrible way when this and this, especially the Yemen situation and this bombing of bus of school kids. It's like sometimes the wrong line gets crossed. Like sometimes things go so far and the wrong thing in retrospect triggers a corrective course. Mm-hmm. But I don't want the fact that I don't feel like justifying the past should get in the way of doing the right, like wanting to feel better about not taking action early. So then you just like sort of go, well, this was a bigger deal in the past. We let it go. So this thing isn't as big of a deal. So like, and I get, I'm not saying you're saying that, Travis, but I've heard that from people like, well, this isn't as bad as all this other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this might be the wrong thing to trigger the outrage that the world feels, the United States feel, that I feel, that wrestlers on the Raw roster feel. Maybe this should have been something we paid attention to sooner. Maybe it shouldn't have been a U.S. resident. But there is something, and I'll defend this, there's something in this country, the way that we feel about freedom of the press and that the idea of a journalist who spoke out against an oppressive society, there's something about somebody speaking out against an oppressive society that is trying to silence critics, silence journalism. And I think that was part of this. Now, part of it is, there's a face and an identity and a video of him walking in and the horrors of what we imagine went on behind those closed doors and a wife and U.S. born kids based in Washington, D.C. and colleagues in the United States who knew him as a person and the fact that it was almost like
readers, fans of his work.
So all of that, I think, in defense of people like me who were not paying as close attention as we should have. I was skeptical, outspoken. About the first show, about the propaganda, I did not believe that it was enough for them to put a video out and say, well, we're on a 2030 plan. I thought there's some easy calls here. Stop stop hanging people who are gay and start letting women wrestle when you want our entertainment culture to enter your country. Two very simple calls. Until then, we're not doing business. I don't care how much money you give us. That, to me, was an easy call. That's not getting into politics. That's saying there's a couple human rights issues we have to deal with before we give you the WWE stamp of approval. Just going to your country, much less airing propaganda videos. So in retrospect, it was awful. At the time, I wasn't comfortable with it and said it. And if it took this journalist dying in the way that he did to get us to wake up to everything else about this country, then so be it. That's sometimes what it takes, even if it's not perfect and we should have gotten the message sooner. However we get the message, if we correct course at that point, let's consider it a positive and learn from maybe why we should have acted sooner. All right, cool. So we're going to cut away there and come back with our on-site correspondent. If anybody, we didn't get your calls, you always know you can email us and still participate in the show. All right, so I'm actually adding this part as I'm speaking now. After we finished the whole show and our post-production, we ran so long with our on-site correspondent and email segments that rather than make the show so long that some of you have trouble downloading it because the size gets so large, we've had issues with that before on this feed. We're going to run this in two installments. So if you downloaded this first, you can now download the other segment either right above or right below it on the RSS feed here that you're using. And just get part two, which includes our on-site correspondent, and then a lengthy mailbag segment with some topics about Roman Reigns, how WWE handled it, the Dean Ambrose turn, real wide variety of opinions on this, and other topics, Evolution, Hype, DX, and more. So just be sure to download the other feed. And I thank you for listening, and I appreciate our callers here on this extended caller segment. If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for downloading the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Don't forget, you can get these shows with the ads and plugs and commercials all edited out on our special VIP audio feed with a VIP membership. That applies to all four shows that I host during the week, the Wade Keller post shows and podcasts later in the week, and also all seven PW Torch live casts, plus all of our VIP exclusive shows throughout the month. There's about 100 of them. I host about 12 per week that are VIP exclusive. The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, post pay-per-view roundtables, the Bruce Mitchell audio show, and the Fix with Todd Martin. We got a bunch of other great content. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com. Yes, all the VIP podcasts, including the ad-free versions of this show, are compatible with popular podcast apps on both iPhone and Android. You can also stream the shows right from our ad-free VIP website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. So check out details if you want to support us and get these shows ad-free and a ton of other VIP-exclusive podcasts. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com for more details. We've got a mobile-friendly sign-up form. You can be VIP in about 2 minutes. Go for it, pwtorchvipinfo.com.